Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
There's a place here at the table. Your coats go by the door. You can kick your shoes off in that pile on the floor. I hope you wore elastic, 'cause your waistband's gonna get tight. Eight times done, we're having a night.
Hey guys, it's Sophie and Ari
in the same room. One mic.
Well, guys, in case you didn't know, this is Having a Night, the podcast dedicated to reviving the lost art of the dinner party, baby. Woo!
This week, we are talking about spring cleaning, out with the old, in with the new, just turning over a new leaf. What are all these expressions?
I know, you're really
spring
going hard on this.
Is busting out all over.
Right. I'm actually really excited about this because I did a little bit of spring cleaning at my parents' house. This past weekend, I cleaned out their refrigerator because they're gone. When nobody's there, it's very easy to clean.
Tell me about this.
Oh, I can't wait to delve into it, but will you first tell me about what you ate this week? Also, I forgot what I ate this week, so.
Well, I did tell you earlier, and I'll tell all of our listeners now. I cooked a steak. I'm actually getting frustrated just remembering what happened. Bought these gorgeous steaks from—
What cut?
They were ribeye. Boneless.
Okay. So like fatty.
Yes. And like super, like really, really thick. Mm. Like at least 2 inches.
Wow.
Like caveman.
Yeah.
And I cook steaks a fair amount. Mm-hmm. And I just completely overdid them. And I want to talk a little bit about this fine line between being able to follow a recipe and I think that is a skill. Like just doing the recipe and also... Oh, yeah. Knowing when to improvise and trusting your instincts because, or maybe trusting the meat thermometer in this case over your own instincts.
Oh, dude, meat thermometers screw up. You know, my dad and I cook a lot together and every single time we use the meat thermometer, whether it's chicken, beef, doesn't matter. Let's say for chicken, you put it in, it's like 129 degrees. Okay, great. So it has another 40 degrees, you know, just under 40 degrees to go. Put it in 2 minutes later, 185 degrees.
Right.
I love my ThermoPen, but I'm like, I don't really trust it.
I don't really trust it either. Anyway, so because these steaks were so thick, I was like, I'm not sure if they're done. I mean, I had an incredible sear on both sides, all three sides, 4 sides.
Yeah.
4 sides, you know, geometry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was gorgeous, but the meat thermometer was like reading around 100, and I was like, "Fuck, I believe it because these are 3 inches thick." I threw it in the oven at 300 for 4 minutes.
4 minutes, that's it.
It was,
and like brown. When you cut into it, the whole thing brown. That's insane.
Like I wanted to weep. I was so angry and upset. It still tasted good, but still like, ugh.
I mean, I do think really good quality beef, even though I never want to see it well done. If it has enough marbling, then you can still taste something.
Yeah.
That's very upsetting.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that you had that experience, Ari. My heart goes out to you.
It's okay. You know, live and learn. Sometimes I get down on myself because I'm like, I cook steak all the time. It isn't like, oh, I'm doing this and I haven't done it in a while.
Right.
So you think practice makes perfect, but then you fuck up every now and then and you're like, what the hell?
But I also think like meat can be very temperamental in that way. It's like, I also know people who are like, oh yeah, I never use the thermometer. I use the palm of my hand but everybody's hand feels different. Like it's very hard. I think unless you're always getting the same cut from the same butcher, from the same purveyor, you know, it is hard. And the ovens. Sometimes it might have said 300. It might have been like 450. Although 4 minutes is just like no time. Anyway, we'll never get to the bottom of this. But what do you think you would do differently next time?
I wouldn't have put it in the oven, I think.
Would you ever, I guess you probably like want to serve it and have it look beautiful. But would you ever just like cut it in half and see how it looks?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I would.
Because sometimes I'll do that and it's like still bright red inside and then, I'll, just and then I'll just keep cooking it.
Yeah.
I handmade pasta this weekend.
Nice.
We did not have Doppio Zero flour, which if our listeners don't know, that's double zero, which means it's like extra finely milled. So I used regular unbleached flour.
Totally fine.
Yeah. In fact, I almost felt like the dough came together quicker for some reason. Like it got kind of silkier.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then I bought some of those, you know, Maine hothouse tomatoes that I love and just like cooked those down in a little bit of garlic and olive oil. And then we got fresh mozzarella from Italy and I cut it up and it was like really good.
I know. So good.
Something about melted mozzarella, man. I know it's cheesy. It's like, I think in Italy they would probably never make that, but it's perfect.
Maybe we'll find some Italians who would.
Yeah, also who cares?
They must.
I'm Italian-American. What do you want?
Oh, God. Well.
Okay, so let me get into my little spring cleaning that I did this weekend. So I went up to my parents' house where, you know, I've been semi-quarantined on and off with Harry for like the last year. My parents are now gone. So I had the rule of the roost or whatever you say.
Oh, my God.
So they are the... Really, I would say it's my dad is the king of like keeping condiments so far past their due date that it's like, I'm totally into keeping things a year past, a few months past. But once something has blue mold on it, it's gotta go.
It's gotta go. Squirrel, it's gotta go.
It's exactly. It's got to go. So I got rid of a lot of that stuff. And then I rearranged the refrigerator, which I really want to talk about, but I don't know if we're there yet. But it was getting rid of a lot of stuff. And to me, it's very important to be able to see everything in my refrigerator.
Difficult. It's a deep space.
That's what's weird. So their fridge is very deep. My fridge is much less deep. My fridge is much smaller, I guess.
Yeah.
Their fridge is like, your arm gets lost in it. So what do you do?
Yeah.
You know?
How much did you leave in there? Like how? What percentage full was the fridge when you started and where did you get?
Let's give it a 75% full. And I think I got it down to a 40% because one of the things that I did was they had two drawers and they had three shelves. So like four spaces.
Yeah.
I got rid of a shelf and I got rid of a drawer. So all of a sudden you can actually see stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I sometimes think the drawers stop the light because the light is always in the ceiling. So the light's in the ceiling. And so everybody is like crowding these spaces up top. All of a sudden you can't see anything on the bottom. Plus you add in two drawers and suddenly it's like the bottom is a black hole.
Yeah.
So getting rid of that suddenly made the whole thing feel so much more open.
Interesting.
And then I also moved, they always keep all of their drinks like milk, wine, whatever on the top shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved everything to the bottom shelf. Those tall things that are kind of blocking the light, suddenly they're on. It's really the light is what I'm coming to.
Well, can I give you some, can I drop some knowledge about fridges that I learned today? So the top space is actually going to be the warmest in all of the fridge.
Wait, I literally on the same doc just put in higher shelves have most consistent temp and are the coldest.
Where did you see that?
I saw it on some dumb website.
Oh, I don't know. Well,
tell me what you learned.
I've heard that the top can be the warmest and that actually you should never put your egg. Most people put their eggs up there or in the egg little area in the door, which you should definitely never do because that gets the warmest.
Right.
So you should put like condiments in the door.
Yes.
Things
this
that
I learned.
Don't go bad. But like milk and eggs, the middle is the most consistent I've heard.
Oh my God. I read the exact opposite. That's so funny.
But
my question is also like, how much are the consistencies varying in refrigerators? You know, I'm like, oh no, your eggs got a 3 second burst of 68 degree air. Like they'll be fine.
They'll be fine. Just don't leave them sitting there for a month.
Right.
I did read, though, and I think this must be correct, that optimal space usage, you should have – your fridge should never be more than two-thirds full just so that air can – the cold air can circulate because I've definitely experienced, like, overcrowding the vent where the air comes out and then they get icy and then everything else is warm.
Oh, my God. I have, like, a vivid memory, a visceral vivid memory of, like, getting parsley out from the back of the refrigerator and it's covered in ice and then you cannot use it. Terrible. Yeah.
But the converse thing is that it should never be completely empty.
Oh, why not?
Because I guess that can f- fuck with the circulation too. Like you should always at least have like a couple of water bottles in there. Like it's just something, I don't know, something about having something in there helps. Maybe it gets too cold with nothing in there. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, although you can change the temperature on a lot of fridges nowadays.
Yeah. And then apparently the you should always make use of the drawers, the veg drawer and the fruit drawer, and try and actually put the veg in one and the fruit in one because
it's high humidity and low humidity. So this is what I was reading about. And then so high humidity is for leafy greens, lettuce, et cetera, things that like actually need humidity to stay nice and crisp, i.e. the crisper drawer. Low humidity is for things like apples, fruits, because they let off ethylene. What kind of gas is it?
Ethanol? Ethylene. Ethylene.
Avocados, although why would you put your avocados in the refrigerator? Unless they're...
They're ready to go.
They're getting there.
Yeah.
But they go in the low humidity drawer so that the gases don't make everything age. But then I go to look in my refrigerator. There's only one drawer and it doesn't say if it's high or low. There's no humidity control.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh?
I wonder if it's one of those things much like a thermostat in a shitty hotel room. Yeah. Like, it says I have control over this, but totally. I don't. Like, really, those two drawers have different humidity settings
right.
in my shitty-ass fridge in my rental apartment? Like, no way.
Totally. I think
They're
you're
just
right.
drawers.
I think that's just a fucking drawer.
Yeah.
Where, like, I'm going to assume it's high humidity because my lettuce does well in them.
Yeah. Unless it's because for you, like me, for you to not put those two things together. Like maybe the temperature is more humid when you put lettuces in one because they give off something that keeps it humid
I don't know. I think it's, and I think there are fridges that really do that. Mm-hmm. Like my parents' fridge, which I am now so intimately familiar with, has a whole drawer that's like a middle drawer. So it's like, there's the top section, which right. is a, you know, what's this thing called?
A door.
A door.
This dance move right here.
Yeah, and this year. And then below that totally separate compartment is like a high humidity crisper drawer.
Uh-huh.
So like that I can see. But in mine, it's like, yeah, there's a door and then there's some shitty plastic drawer that whatever. So that's where I got to in my sleuthing.
What was the scariest thing you found?
Well, so here's the problem. The reason why I cleaned out the fridge is because there was a smell emanating from the fucking refrigerator.
Yeah.
Where every time you open it, I could be sitting in the living room and I was like, oh my God. And since we all know I'm a super smeller, I was like, I got to do something about this. Really, the culprit is the fact that my dad has been making kimchi and not putting it into like airtight containers. Mm. It's all in like a plastic container that we've had for 5 years.
Right,
so like, obviously it's smelling up the joint. So I moved that to a separate area.
Got it.
But then let's see, the scariest thing I found, I mean, there were some things that had some real growth mm-hmm. on them.
Ooh, I hate some mold.
Well, and because we're so crazy about like not throwing stuff out, I would obviously throw out the food and then keep the container. So like you have to decant. So you're like decanting the mold. I mean, it's a whole thing. Just trying to hold my breath and hope it doesn't take up residence in my brain.
Oof. Yeah, I was going through the fridge up in Connecticut and found some real gems, some hot fudge sauce and caramel sauce, like on the bottom of the door. Like that's like no one looks there.
Right.
You know what I mean? What is down there? I don't know.
Right.
That were from like 2 years ago. It's like someone had an idea to have like a sundae party and got them and used like one scoop. They're both really full. And it's just like, how are these still sitting here?
Oh, you're lucky that those are from 2 years ago. I found jams that are from... So the house was built in 2008. I found jams from 2008. No. And when I've approached my father, because I cleaned it out over quarantine too. I've approached my father and been like, okay, so this literally says 2008 on it. And he's like, but it's just jam. It's fine.
No,
it's still good.
I love him. No, it's not just jam. It's not like...
Now it's just ice crystals.
Yeah, no.
With like white dots all over it. I'm like...
Wait, this is completely irrelevant, but speaking, you said ice crystals, we're talking about jam, I started thinking about crystallizing, sugar crystallizing. Do you know that honey, when it crystallizes, that's like, doesn't mean that you have to not throw it out, but it's fine.
Of course. Oh yeah, you just put, well, honey weirdly is one of these things that basically lasts forever.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's so cool because I think it's technically, first of all, it's like an antiseptic. basically nothing can really penetrate it. It's like if right. you had...
It's like water resistant.
Yes, exactly. So it's like if you used a knife that you had just used in butter
yes.
in your honey jar, that could potentially contaminate it.
Yeah.
So like as long as it's just honey, it can basically last forever, which is like fucking magic.
Here's my follow-up question. Final thought. What if you have like a hot honey? Because we have some hot honey that's really old and it's really crystally.
I would like, just put it under hot water.
And see if it melts.
Yeah. And it will definitely melt. And then just taste it. If it tastes disgusting. Oh, then don't worry about it at all. If you see that something is out of date, are you like, okay, it's going? Or do you look at it, smell it first?
It depends on what. Obviously, if there's mold, I'm...
Yeah.
the exception being cheese, yes, a hard cheese. Like if it's, if there's some mold on some beautiful chunk of like parm or something,
doesn't matter.
I'm just going to cut that part off. But yeah, for if it's like a jam, if it's something like that, I'm dumping the whole thing, washing out the container, recycling it, right, or reusing it. But yeah,
if you have like a mustard, smells normal, looks normal, tastes normal. Yeah, same.
I'm not worried
because some of those past due dates, I'm like, that was created by the company because they want to sell more. Yeah. I'm like, mustard lasts for a long fucking time.
Yes, they want to sell more and protect themselves in case you do get sick and sue them.
Yeah. What's your stance on dried herbs, spices?
So I know that they have expiration dates, and I think it's mostly because they don't go bad, but they just lose all their flavor and kick, which makes sense. And I think I told you this, I've been trying to be way more heavy-handed with my spices to kind of go through them more.
Yeah.
And like, no one wants that ground cumin that you've like had in your spice drawer for 10 years and you like brought it with you from your old apartment.
Right,
you should be using that. It's a small amount. That's why they're cheap.
I'm almost like, I mean, I don't want to move because I love it here, but I'm almost like, if only I moved apartments so I had an excuse to use up all my spices or get new spices.
Right.
Because my spice drawer, you know, it's like you're cooking one meal and it calls for za'atar. Mm-hmm. So you go and you buy your za'atar and then you don't use it again for another year.
Mm-hmm.
I have spices in there that have been with me since Yale Drama.
Wow.
That have been with me for 7 fucking years.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's so true because I was at a spice party.
Yeah.
Ooh, know what would be a fun idea would be to do like, it's a spice party where everybody just makes their own spice blends. Or you like send everybody home with like a little spice blend. Little do they know, it's just like my ancient fucking spices.
Well, we should try and use a bunch of it.
Yes.
Like make a bunch of dishes using up
lots of
spices.
It's a fun
idea. And also we have to dress like the Spice Girls.
Ooh. Oh my God. My favorite of all time. Oh my God. I love them so much. I loved Spice World. What a movie. Like what are some spices that you can see in your mind's eye, like in your drawers that you just have not used in forever?
Well.
Now you don't have drawers.
Right.
I know. But like back when you were in Brooklyn, are you like, oh, right, I bought that thing of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like until very recently, during the pandemic, I was way more of a using fresh herbs than spices type of gal.
Oh, same.
So I feel like I had like garlic granules that I never used, which actually sometimes if you just put some with like some sauteed spinach, like it's good.
Well, I feel like powdered garlic is a funny thing. People throw so much shade on it. It's literally just dried garlic.
Yeah, it's fine.
Ground up. It's actually quite delicious.
Yeah. And same with onion powder, which I've been using a lot more of.
What a shock. I'm a both person where I'm like, I of course want to use fresh herbs, but I love to use spices. I mean, I love to use like hot pepper, of course. Cumin I use a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use so much turmeric, but like cayenne, smoked paprika, Aleppo pepper.
Oh, I need some new Aleppo pepper. Thank you.
But my theory about the spices is like, I think they lose their flavor, but it doesn't go away completely. So if it used to call for a half a teaspoon, try 3/4 of a teaspoon.
Right.
And like, just see how it goes, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just made a chimichurri that called for cumin and it turns out I have 3 cumins.
Oh.
And that was really.
Oh, I'll take one.
Please. Oh, great. I have a totally unopened one. It's yours.
Yeah,
got your name on it, baby. Woo!
Yeah. I'll take it.
Hold up.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What do you keep in your pantry versus your refrigerator?
Wow.
Hot topic.
Wow. Okay.
Because P.S., when we were just talking about the fridge, my eggs are out on my counter.
You're so wrong.
But the thing is that Harry taught me, so these are eggs from our chickens, so you can keep them
right.
out.
If they never went in, right?
Went into the refrigerator. Fridge.
If yeah. they never went into the chicken.
No. No. So basically, in America, farms are required to wash their eggs. And in washing the eggs, it actually gets rid of like this membrane that allows you to keep them outside. So in other countries, that's why everybody keeps them outside.
Yeah.
So it's just a fucked up American thing. So if you happen to have a chicken or someone who lives near you has chicken, you can keep your eggs out on your counter. Just FYI.
Thank you.
Isn't that crazy? Anyway. So, okay. What do you keep out? What do you keep in?
Okay. I'm keeping in...
Mustard.
And I'm going to say mayonnaise because I have some weird memory of like someone being like, no, mayonnaise is also shelf stable after it's been opened. But I'm like, how can that be?
Maybe it was probably me in our like mayo episode.
Weird dream. No, not you. I am keeping like maybe like a very raw almond butter stored upside down.
Yep.
There's more things that I'm not keeping than I am. I'm keeping Great. A kimchi, obviously, yeah. a miso. I am not. Ooh, here, add to the list of things you are keeping in because mine is not that controversial.
I have a really nice hoisin sauce that yep. I'm keeping in. I keep my yuzu kosho in there.
Yep. I'm going to buy some.
I also have an unopened yuzu kosho.
No, it's you yours. Have, I you swear. You have that.
You have. No, I have two, and I also live above a Japanese store. Somebody brought me one, which is why I have two. Hemp seeds, I'm keeping in there. Wheat germ, I make these like Swedish knäckebröd crackers that have a little bit of wheat germ in them. And I had stored my wheat germ. I didn't realize it needed refrigeration.
Do you have bugs?
I took it. No bugs, thank God. Oh, knock on wood. That's my biggest nightmare. I took it out. I opened the container and it must emit some crazy gases.
Ew, ew, ew.
It like, I almost fainted. It was so ew. Pungent. It was like ammonia.
Ew.
And then I tossed so it out and I, no. It's just, it literally looks the same. But I think because it's like a ground up, because it's like a pulverized thing, it's more alive, right? Than if it's like, if you think about a flax seed.
Yeah.
Like a flax seed is whole and contained within its little unit.
Yeah.
As soon as you break it up, like everything that's inside of it starts to mix up, right? So it's like all of the different elements of it start to,
sure.
That's why you're supposed to have ground flax seeds and not whole flax seeds because you can digest them better because it has the enzymes. So I guess that's what happened.
Oh.
I put the container in the dishwasher, the whole thing, it smelled so bad. I had to throw it out. It was the whole container, everything. It was my garbage disposal smelled of it for like three days. It was so intense. So that has to go in the refrigerator.
I put sesame seeds in the refrigerator.
Shit, I should do that.
If you use them fast enough. But
yeah.
I am really partial to, I love the giant Japanese containers of the roasted sesame seeds.
Yeah, they're great.
And those do take a while, although I use them quite liberally. But they can go rancid. And
yeah.
I don't want to buy like those little... I hate like the sesame seeds in the spice aisle with the rest
Same.
Of the spices. I'm like, what is this?
I actually go to a bulk store that has black and white sesame seeds. And then I just buy them in bulk. But then they're sitting in these huge containers.
Right.
And it's like, I got to get through them.
Yeah.
I mean, I have some old spices. Have you ever had Spike?
No.
Oh, my God. It's like an old school hippie... like spice mix. That is one of my favorite things in the world.
Oh boy.
Spike and Bragg's amino acids. And I've had a bottle of Spike probably for 10 years since maybe before grad school. And it's just taken me a long time to get through it. But listen, it still has so much flavor. It's so great. Guys, if you have health food stores near you, please go and buy some Spike. Classic Spike.
Oh, I have seen this. Spike. Oh, very cute packaging. It's very kind of like, I don't even know, like 70s?
Oh, super 70s. And it's by Gaylord Houser, who I think was like one of the first sort of health people.
Celery seed.
So good. That on like mashed avocado on a bagel. Wow. With a little bit of Bragg's, baby.
Great. Soy sauce, not in the fridge.
Soy sauce, not in the fridge. Okay. Soy sauce, not in the fridge. Miso, yes, in the fridge.
Yes.
Sesame oil, not in the fridge. What if I was like olive oil, obviously in the fridge?
I'd be like,
Of course, no vinegar is like nothing. None of that stuff is going in the fridge.
No.
I'm trying to think of my liquids that I do keep in the fridge.
Do you keep, well, we've talked about this, vermouth? Any of those in the fridge?
Maple syrup I keep in the fridge, although that seems like it should be shelf-stable.
That's a good point. We should look into that. No idea. We also keep ours in the fridge. Although in our apartment, we did not keep it in the fridge.
Are you a butter in the fridge person?
Yes, unless I know I feel like I tend to, I'll take it out in the morning and know that we're going to like be using it all day.
Yeah.
But I want to be like someone who keeps it out, period. And like one of those cute little, I love the little water cup
thingies.
I know
those are really nice.
I hate cold butter. Although me too. I just got one of those cool knives that has like the little holes in it.
Is it nice?
I can't get it to work. So no.
Oh. What I've started doing recently is running my knife under hot water because I like to keep my butter out, but I have no idea where our butter dish went. And it's like, unless you're using your butter really consistently, it doesn't go bad, of course, but it just starts to get a little like, you'll see that the outside is a little yellower than the inside, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's in the refrigerator right now, but just running my knife under really hot water, then the butter, it's soft to cut through.
It's like working at an ice cream store.
Right. Yeah. Run that knife, your cool new one. Let's see if it works.
Things that don't go in the fridge, tomatoes.
Of course.
I know, dumb dumbs. I know, but people are doing it.
Tomatoes are not in the refrigerator. Like if I buy an eggplant, it's not in the refrigerator.
Onions.
Garlic. Not in the, no, of course. Potatoes. I mean, these are things, people. We've spoken to you before. We know you're not putting those things in the refrigerator, right?
Yes. And also, quick pantry organization tip. Keep, obviously, your alliums together, your onions, your garlic, your shallots. Do not mix them with potatoes because potatoes release something and it makes the garlic get turn into a like weird alien garlic and then makes the onions rot. Mushrooms, if you're going to buy mushrooms not in bulk, which you should be doing, and you do something terrible and buy them in those little like plastic covered little styrofoam things, take them out of there. Don't just put them in your fridge. The mushrooms hate moisture when it's trapped.
Right. I mean, the thing is they love moisture. They're like, we're just going to grow more mushrooms.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like insane.
It's just crazy. So please just put them in a beautiful little like brown paper bag. You could even kind of keep it open in your fridge.
Yeah.
Here's my beautiful little like foraged mushrooms.
Yeah. They want fresh air or just like circulated air, as we've discovered. What do you have like fridge organization tips? Are you like, oh, I use bins for blah, 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 or like?
No, I have bins and I wanted to use them for my fridge, but then my pantry was so disorganized that I used them for my pantry. But
it's a good use.
My next apartment or house or wherever I live, hole in the ground, will have
my next hovel.
I really want like some beautiful bins, baskets, vintage glass refrigerator containers, like you know those little thing, heavy lids. I love those.
I love those too. Well, I just bought. Harry convinced me, rightfully, that we needed a Lazy Susan in our fridge, small Lazy Susan. So now that's a very nice place to be. Like, oh, several of our condiments like live on there now.
Mm-hmm.
Olive paste is also staying in the refrigerator, obviously.
Good.
Love my olive paste. Pickles. I mean, now I'm just like saying random things. That's like, of course, those are in the refrigerator.
Well, you'd be surprised. I have this little shout out to Sid Sauce. My friend Sydney makes this really great kind of olive oil based kind of hot sauce condiment thing. Ooh. But it's mostly olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
But there are all these different spices in it. And someone at the house where I live keeps putting it in the fridge. And it's like,
no,
it doesn't go. It's hard. Now it's hard. And I can't just use it with abandon whenever I want.
It's also when that olive oil turns hard, like sometimes I'll make a dressing and then, you know, use half of it today and then there's some left over and I put it in there. And of course you can eat it the next day. It's totally fine. But something changes a little bit once it's hardened and re-softened.
It's hard to get it like, to completely emulsify.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not into it. Guys, please don't ever put your olive oils in the refrigerator. This is the thing that I do keep in the refrigerator. Walnut oil. Pistachio oil. If you have like any of those kind of nut oils, mm-hmm. those do go in the fridge because those go rancid super quick. But a walnut dressing, a walnut oil dressing is like one of my favorite things in the world. I made one this past week and I was like,
I gotta do that.
Why have I not been doing more of this? Yeah, I like the bin idea. But then I'm also like, if I went over to somebody's house and their fridge was like really fucking organized.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little organized.
Yeah. Like I like the idea of having little areas, but I was trying to do a little bit of research and it was like, you should have a bin that says, eat this first. Yeah. And, you know, a bin that says like waters. It's like, no, we know. Yeah. I have eyes. Waters. If I can read the sign.
Yeah. It could be good though if you had like a big family with like teenagers or like a, you know, kind of mindless partner of just be like, eat this.
Eat this first. And a section that says to-go snacks. I'd fucking kill myself.
Not that. But just like someone needs to eat this. It's going to go bad. Because I find it now living with all these people. Something in the back of the fridge goes bad and people are ordering takeout. It's like, we could have eaten that, but no one could see it. They forgot to open the fridge.
Well, so part of what I notice about like, I can see everything in my refrigerator because I cook everything the day that I'm going to eat it. And if I have leftovers, I usually eat them the next day. Mm-hmm. So I think like I'm anal enough that I can see everything in my refrigerator. Whereas of course it's like, we ordered in takeout and then the next day, so-and-so came over with sandwiches and like, it's just full of, but then I'm like, none of that feels that appealing anymore. Right. I feel like if things are kind of 3 days old and it's like, well, we got to eat it.
It's
hard to find the appeal.
I know, but you gotta dig deep. I've been digging deep. Reconstituting leftovers is super important to me.
Exactly. No, me too. That's why I never have them is because I'm like, well, it makes me too anxious.
No. Well, I mean,
no takeout.
Very small household.
Yes, it's true. It's true. We're a 2-person household. I know nothing.
Well, I would say if you are having trouble organizing your pantry, You got the, Sophie got the Lazy Susan for the fridge. I have multiple Lazy Susans in my pantry. It really, being able to rotate things helps you see, like I put all my vinegars in one. Like I have one that's like walls so that things aren't falling off of it.
The one that I got for the fridge, it doesn't have walls, but it has like a barrier. Because that I was imagining when I bought it, I was like imagining myself with one without a fucking barrier. Everything's flying all over. Cannot.
So it's spinning around, things are flying. It's a mess.
My life is crazy.
Tilt a wheel. Being able to turn something, also height. I took a bunch of like little weird shaped boxes, like a shoe box and then like an old iPhone box to at the back of my pantry. Create levels. So like I made like a spice rack instead of buying a plastic one or just buying anything. Creating levels is key to seeing shit.
Well, I think that's why everybody loves a spice rack, which I don't have. So I have like both my pantry and my spices are in drawers, which is very weird, actually. Mm-hmm. Like all my olive oils, vinegars, et cetera, like live in a drawer, which I know the bottles extremely well. So like I know where they are.
From the top.
And my spices, now I've started, I got some like masking tape and I label everything. I feel really like a chef. It's very cool. But that's why everybody wants to have those spice racks because I can't see shit in there.
No, it's really hard. I always think it's so novel that you have like this drawer full of things. But
I know it feels very like a Mary Poppins bag. It's like who knows what's in here? But I can't have a spice rack because I'm always decanting, you know, I'm buying everything in bulk and then decanting it into these like random sized jars. So you can't like spice rack it up.
Right. It's too what's the word when things are not the
same. I like to say wabi sabi, but some might say higgledy piggledy.
Oh my God. Neither of those higgledy piggledy. Here's the thing I learned about fridge, keeping it clean, which I've never done and wouldn't think to do, but apparently it works quite well. If you line your shelves and possibly just all of the surfaces in your fridge with like paper towels.
I was going to ask if you line your crisper drawers.
No.
You don't?
No. What do you line it with?
I'll just use like a linen towel. I'll just put it on the bottom.
So smart.
Because also I'm like, especially if I have herbs around in there or like scallions, I don't want them. I'm not worried about them touching plastic, but it's that same thing with the mushrooms. It's like the more it's in contact with something that's not going to like absorb.
Yes.
The nastier it gets.
Yeah.
So I'll just put in like one of my kitchen towels.
And then all you have to do is take out the and launder the towel or use the paper towel to wipe it and then throw it away or compost it. I know that all these compartments in the fridge you can rinse and soak in your sink, but they're so unwieldy. It's not easy to clean a fridge.
Oh my God.
I hate trying to clean one of those giant drawers.
Taking out the fucking, so I took out the fridge. Sorry, I took out the fridge. I took out the shelf in my parents' fridge. It was so heavy.
Yeah.
And it turned out the edges were fucking sharp. It like scratched up the counter. Like it was a whole thing.
Oh God.
And then I, you know, I like properly cleaned it, did the vinegar thing, like did everything. It's that kimchi, man. What am I going to do? But yes, exactly. It's quite unwieldy. So having just like lining just your drawer, I don't think you need to do it everywhere.
Yeah.
Also, especially if you have like, I think some people buy a lot of produce all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's really nice because it's like, I don't know, it just feels like there's some kind of a barrier.
Yes.
You know, like nothing's going to get really soggy and nasty and then like sitting in juice.
Yeah.
Ugh.
No, you don't want that. Or you don't want like the scraggly little hairs from the scallion just like mm-hmm. in there forever. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just like in the corners, just like dust and dirt. Because even though a lot of people, I think it must be so nice to bring home all your produce, wash it and put it in the fridge. But that can make it go bad faster, I think.
So I'll sometimes do that if I go to the farmer's market and buy, you know, with my little like produce baggies, my linen produce baggies. Sometimes if I'm feeling very much like that, I'm mm-hmm. like, I am a person who washes everything at once.
Mm-hmm.
I'll rinse it and then wrap it in like a linen towel.
Yes.
And then almost, you know, kind of do like a four-way knot on top mm-hmm. and then just kind of let it sit in there. And it looks very beautiful. I don't think it rots faster, but it's also just like, wash it a la minute. Like who cares? It's another 2 minutes. Plus, it like revitalizes it if you're doing a raw green.
Yes.
I like this little game. What can you tell about a person by the contents of their fridge?
I feel like it is one. It's you can totally get someone's personality if you just open someone's fridge and you saw like a giant bottle of Perrier and champagne. It would be Matthew who we had on the
exactly.
show.
Exactly. Wait. So, okay. I have a good question for you, which is when you and Chris are living in your own abode, what are the things like you always have that are not condiments that are not? So for me, it's like I always have like one or two cheeses and a hard salami and olives.
Yeah, I'll have parm. Yeah. I'll usually have like a snacky cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I guess parm counts, but like a manchego or like a baby bell, you know,
I do
like
love
something
a baby
like that.
Bell.
Maybe even like some kind of string cheese.
Oh, I love string cheese so much.
Maybe because of my life in New York, RIP, I was just always out all the time, like during the day. So my fridge is not stocked with like things that I would grab to eat because usually I was just gone.
Yeah. Mine didn't used to be, but I think living with Harry, it's like, you know, going to Bedford Cheese Shop is like a really nice outing.
Yeah.
And now like always having a good hard salami and like a good sort of semi-hard cheese. Just like have a little snack throughout the day. Cause mm-hmm. like you, I often mm-hmm. will like, if Harry's not here, I won't like sit down and plan my lunch.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, you know, having like little things to have throughout the day. Olives are an essential, but I mean, I think there are some families where you go over, you open it and it's like, here's a thing of hummus. Here's a thing of baba ganoush.
Yes.
Here, you know, to like go with the tortilla chips that are in the pantry, like really planned out stuff
mm-hmm.
that I don't have, which I mean, I don't think I could. I'm sure some people are like, oh, I always have like beans sprouting in my, you know?
Oh, gosh.
That's a different
thing.
Think
about this answer more. Honestly, there's so much to cover here, and we've only really mostly done fridge pantry. I wonder if we want to make this a two-parter and make part two in a couple weeks.
I mean, we could get in, we can go deep.
Because I really want to talk more about cleaning the kitchen because we throw so many parties and are always talking about parties, but we never talk about.
Let's talk about
cleaning. The next day.
Okay, let's talk about cleaning in our next solo episode.
And then we can play this game more properly.
Fabulous.
Okay, great.
Well, also, because I'll talk about I'm sure you saw the New York Times thing about, like, can you spot a conservative or a liberal person by their fridge?
I did not
see my God, I have to send this to you. Lots of surprises.
Oh, my gosh. What? How did I miss that? Okay.
Guys, thank you for listening. We love you. Thank you, Colin.
Yes.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. And we'll see you on Chip Hour. Goodbye.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.